You're listening to the JR Sport Brief on CBS Sports Radio. You're listening to the JR Sport Brief on CBS Sports Radio.
And we are coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. Whether you want to buy a home or refinance your current one, Rocket can. Happy Wednesday night to you. I'm going to be hanging out here with you for the next 4 hours. I'm gonna bring you closer to Thursday. That's what I do. I get started at this time every single weeknight, 10 p.m. Eastern Time, 7 p.m. Pacific. I am joined by super producer and host Dave Shepard, and I'm joined by you. Everybody listening on the free Odyssey app, people listening all over North America on our many CBS Sports Radio affiliates, people locked in, Sirius XM 158, and everybody listening on a smart speaker. It's been a busy day. Hope you've had a good one. I hope that, you know, whatever you're getting into tonight, I hope you have a good one at that. We're going to have a good show. As I do every Wednesday night into Thursday morning, I am going to bring you a new top six list. Tonight will be no different. You know, we had a lot of conversation at the end of the last night's show about Aaron Judge and potentially breaking Roger Maris's record of 61 home runs in the American League and what it would mean. And so tonight, we're going to bring you a top six list of the biggest stars in baseball right now. You know, we always have so many conversations about who should be highlighted and how they should be highlighted. We're going to talk about the top stars and, you know, who's the biggest star here in North America. We'll get to that top six 2 hours from now. Kind of on the same theme of baseball, we have an owner, an Artie Moreno, owner of the Angels, who's pretty much said that he's exploring options to sell. This is almost 20 years since he bought the team from Disney. And I think the Angels having new ownership would probably be a great thing. Unfortunately, we learned about the passing of Chiefs legend and Hall of Famer Len Dawson. We'll talk about that next hour. Speaking of quarterbacks, Davante Adams says his former quarterback is the best. He also says that Aaron Rodgers is someone who walks around and has a Jordan effect. Yes, Michael Jordan effect. And I'll explain, and you'll actually hear that from Davante Adams next hour. Tiger Woods, Rory McIlroy have something up their sleeve when it comes down to the evolution of golf. And the PGA is starting to, you know, throw around some more prize money to entice their own players, I guess, to stay. We got a lot to do, a lot to get into. And in a few minutes here, a few seconds actually, this is the offseason. The conversation, unfortunately, has been dominated by someone who is tall, skinny, and requested a trade. His name is Kevin Durant. In a few minutes, we'll talk about someone else who is tall, skinny, and he's trying to start his career. His name is Chet Holmgren. We'll talk about him momentarily. Shep, how was your day? How you doing, man?
I'm doing well. Always great to be with you, sir. How are you?
I'm good, man. I'm good. Here's the deal, folks. If you want to give me a holler, the phone number here, CBS Sports Radio, it's 855-212-4CBS. That's 855-212-4CBS. Now, I just told you about, you know, skinny guys. And sure, it's the NBA. It's basketball. There's a lot of tall, skinny guys running around. The majority of the players are tall, skinny guys. Until you see them in person and you go, oh, sure, yeah, he's a tall, skinny guy. This guy's built like a brick house. This guy is a gigantic human being, and he could probably snap me in half. And so here we have someone like Chet Holmgren, and here's the bad news. If you're not familiar, because maybe you've seen him play, maybe you haven't. He was just selected as the number 2 overall pick to the Oklahoma City Thunder. NBA draft took place 2 months ago at the end of June. Chet Holmgren, like a lot of players, has been participating in the offseason and at various programs. LeBron James has played at the Drew League. Jamal Crawford just had a game in Seattle on Saturday that had to be shut down. And Chet Holmgren was playing out there. And so this is a rare opportunity for just fans to show up to their local gyms, try to stand out there for hours at a time, get inside for free, and watch some of these superstars run around. So at this program, which was run by Jamal Crawford, the number one overall pick, Paolo Banchero, he was there. Aaron Gordon, LeBron James was out there flying around. DeJounte Murray happens to be up from Seattle. Chet Holmgren obviously played. He just went to Gonzaga. Jason Tatum was there. But here's the deal. The game didn't go past the second quarter because of condensation. What a big surprise up in Seattle, right? They couldn't have all those NBA players running around out there on a wet basketball court that was just accumulating water and becoming slippery. What the hell type of situation is this if LeBron James is running around and he goes up for a dunk and he blows out an ACL? Everybody and their mother is basically pulling out of these pro-ams, which take place all over the country. Los Angeles, Chicago. Man, I saw a pro-am taking place in Utah now. It's not just the Rucker Park and the Drew League. These games and pros are playing everywhere. Well, Chet Holmgren, he's a basketball freak. I remember hearing about this guy years ago when he was in high school in Minnesota. He was a viral sensation similar to Zion Williamson. And Zion, people talk about him for different reasons when it comes down to his weight and body. But Chet Holmgren is 7'1". He is currently listed at 195 pounds. If you take a look at Chet Holmgren, he looks like he is going to snap into pieces. It looks like one hit will break this human being. And so he's absolutely amazing in high school, decimating and destroying the competition in Minnesota where he's from. He goes to the Zags. They go up against Arkansas, they finally lose. Chet's season, one and done for the Zags, averages 14 points, 10 rebounds, and 4 blocks. He wins basically every award that you could think of. He shoots almost 40% from the college three. West Coast Conference Defensive Player of the Year. You know, All-American this, and West Coast Conference Rookie this and that. And so he gets drafted number 2. Even though he looks like a 7-foot twig. And so the conversation about Chet has always been, when is he going to put on weight? And is he going to get injured before that even happens? And so he's participated in the NBA Summer League, and he had a damn good showing there. Averaged 14 points and 8 rebounds in 5 games. In one game, he put up about 24 points and 7 rebounds and 7 blocks. This guy was just out there destroying folks. And sure, these aren't full-time NBA players. These are guys who are rookies and other dudes who are trying to make a roster. But not a bad showing. But it's not the best of the best. And so as the summer has continued, he was at the Seattle Pro-Am on Saturday, the one I just told you about, with the number one pick, Banchero, and LeBron, and Aaron Gordon, and Jason Tatum. There was a fast break. LeBron James, the biggest, strongest train that we've probably ever seen in the NBA at his size. He was zooming down the court. He was picked up by no one other than Chet Holmgren. And LeBron James did what you would think he would. He put his body, his shoulder into this guy, driving to the basket, went up for a layup. Layup didn't go in. No problem there. LeBron isn't going to make every layup. And then Chet Holmgren comes down. And Chet Holmgren, after a tip-in, after the LeBron miss, Chet starts to run back on defense. But he doesn't even get past the bench. He's favoring his foot. And the worst-case scenario is pretty much right here in front of us. It's been reported today that Chet Holmgren, this 7-foot-1 freak, they believe that he has suffered ligament damage in his right foot. And they're evaluating it, and they have no idea as of right now what his status is going to be in the immediate future and for this season. And that really sucks when the number 2 overall pick may not even play in an NBA game because he got hurt basically in an exhibition game, in a warm-up game, in a game that doesn't count, in a game that would add to his experience. But all things considered, you want him playing in the league. You want him playing in the regular season. You want Chet Holmgren popping up in arenas across the country, drawing attention. We don't know if that's going to be the case. And there's always several issues here. The durability of Chet Holmgren was always going to come under scrutiny. It has. Watching him in high school, it's like, whoa, can we feed him? Watching him in college, it's like, whoa, okay, fine, he's blocking a million shots and shooting threes. Can we feed him? It's going to take several off seasons to see how his body continues to grow. Obviously, he's not going to stay the same size as he gets older. But one elbow to the ribs, I think, would send him into the fifth row. One elbow to the ribs would potentially break his ribs. And the reality is, when you are 7-foot-1, there's a good chance with some big old feet that you might have a foot issue or a problem. How about Kevin Durant? 2014, 3 separate surgeries on his foot. Why? Some big-ass feet. Yao Ming, career pretty much cut short because Yao Ming was, what, 7'5", 7'6"? You know how difficult it is to be that damn big? And Yao was not a skinny man. That was a gigantic human being. I met him one time. Odd as hell to stand next to somebody and basically come up to their waist. It's quite disturbing. But when you run and jump for a living, your legs are going to pay for it. Your base is going to pay for it. And so for Chet Holmgren to already have a foot injury here and us to not know the extent of it absolutely sucks. Chet Holmgren, he got injured obviously here playing in a pro-am game. He could have got hurt in October, November, December, January, February. There's no way in hell he's going to be able to hold a spot in the NBA. He's going to have to try to play on the outside and pull up. He's going to get bullied on the defense. He's going to have to try to use those long-ass arms to offset his lack of strength. But people will be dropping their shoulders right into his chest. It just sucks that we might not be able to see it. This is an ongoing situation. When Kevin Durant came out of school, came out of Texas, people looked at him and said, man, Kevin Durant can't even push a weight. He can't bench press. How is he going to play basketball? Well, look how that turned out. And when Kevin Durant came into the NBA in 2007, Kevin Durant, who's about 7 feet tall, he was 212 pounds. He continued to up his weight year by year. Right now, Kevin Durant getting ready to turn 34 years old. Kevin Durant is closer to 240 pounds. And we see he has zero issue or zero problem playing basketball. Rudy Gobert, exactly 7-foot-1, like Chet Holmgren. Rudy Gobert, he weighs 260 pounds. Chet Holmgren, I'll remind you, is 7'1". He weighs 195. Who wins that matchup? Kristaps Porzingis, one of the tallest players in the NBA, probably tied with Boban at 7'3". Porzingis weighs 240. And we see how durable Kristaps Porzingis is. Not very durable. And he's making all that money basically to never play. And Chet Holmgren, after he was drafted, he was on ESPN. And he was asked about how he's going to be able to handle his size. And he can't run around saying, hey, guys, yeah, I'm skinny. We all know. This is how he said he's going to handle his lack of strength and size. Listen.
How do you plan to handle the physicality and the strength of the NBA level?
Just continuing to get stronger every day in the weight room and playing to my strengths, which is my lateral speed and my length, protecting the rim, and just playing to my strengths.
Man, they will move your ass away from that rim, bro. And there's a lot of guys in the NBA. There's a lot of guys who are fast. I'm sorry. I don't know if you're going to beat everybody in a foot race. Yeah, sure, physical gifts and talents. Ain't too many guys running around. Kevin Durant is the 7-foot shooting guard. I can't remember seeing one like him. Is Chet Holmgren going to come in and be that guy? I don't know. It's going to take time, and we have to hope that he doesn't get hurt along the way. It just sucks that it was a pro-am that he got hurt in. And I don't think this is going to slow things down in regards to pro-ams. And sure, the Oklahoma City Thunder have to be upset. They have to be bothered that their number 2 overall pick, someone who can be the centerpiece of their franchise amongst Shai Gilgeous-Alexander and Giddey, that you have someone who you can really build around and a super ridiculous offensive threat. And he gets hurt in a game that means absolutely nothing. But he could have got hurt anywhere. He could have got hurt when the cameras were off. He could have got hurt in a pro-am. He could have hurt in a regular season. He could have got hurt in practice. So you can't stop these guys from playing basketball, but you can control, the settings of which they play. Do we know he got hurt because the court was slippery? Or did he just get hurt because his feet are damn big and he's fragile? Situation sucks. But basketball players? Yeah, you could ask Michael Jordan. I have the love of the game clause in my contract. I can play basketball whenever, wherever. I don't think pro-ams are going to stop. If anything, the NBA will probably look for a way to monetize them. And Chet Holmgren, who was drafted with concerns about his durability, is already hurt. And we don't know how much time he's going to miss. I mean, between him and Zion Williamson, we got two ends of the spectrum. One guy who needs to eat and get big over time, and another dude who needs to slim down. And Chet Holmgren, I'm very interested in seeing how he holds up, but I'm real interested to see if there'll be any kind of pushback on these pro-ams into the future. I don't think that will be the case. I mean, even here in Atlanta, we have the AEBL, and man, guys come through and play all the time. You're not going to slow it down. Chet, if there was one guy to go down, it just had to be him, right? 855-212-4CBS. That's 855-212-4CBS. David is calling from Buffalo. You're on CBS Sports Radio.
Hey, JR, appreciate taking my call, man. It sounds like Chet Holmgren's going to really have to, readapt or readjust his game, because to me, at the NBA level, it's so much more of a physical game, and you've really got to show that, if you're going to go in the post, you're going to be able to go in the paint. You've got to really be able to throw your weight around literally and figuratively, because that's how you make your name in the NBA. That's how LeBron and these big-name players get to the hoop. And a guy like Kevin Durant, I mean, yeah, there's some guys like that, but he can't. I mean, there's no way Holmgren's going to be able to shoot like that. I mean, because Durant is a dime a dozen. You don't see too many guys that have that kind of skill level. And I think for him, he's just going to have to really work with strength and conditioning coaches. And then I think over time, he's going to have to understand that the speed he has maybe worked in college, but it's a different animal in the NBA where he's got to be a lot smarter in how he uses it.
Oh, absolutely. I think that's something that we all know, and it's going to take time. It's going to take time. If Chet Holmgren plays this year, I hope he does, I think there was a full expectation that he was going to get his ass whooped. And I think part of his first year as a rookie was, hey, how much of a beating can you take over the course of a year? And how can you work? This was going to be an experiment, I believe, in his first year. What's Chet Holmgren supposed to do in year one rookie season? If this man averaged, I don't know, 12 points, had 7 rebounds, you know, blocked a shot, I would consider that to be a success. Because I see people just moving him all over the place. And sure, the NBA game is faster, there's no defense being played, but people will be targeting him because he looks like a rail. Rookie's already there to be beaten up, and he looks like fresh meat. It's just a shame now. We don't know if we'll see him. It's the JR Sport Brief Show on CBS Sports Radio. I got the phone lines open. It's 855-212-4CBS. That's 855-212-4CBS. We're going to take a break. I'll get to your calls. And unfortunately, I have to tell you about someone else who is injured. He plays for the Dodgers, and we may not see him until next year or the year after. It's the JR Sport Brief Show, CBS Sports Radio.
You're listening to the JR Sport Brief on CBS Sports Radio. JR wants to hear from you. Call him now at 855-212-4CBS. That's 855-212-4227.
That's right. It's the JR Sport Brief Show here with you on CBS Sports Radio. And unfortunately, Chet Holmgren, selected number 2 overall by the Oklahoma City Thunder. He played in the Seattle Pro-Am run by Jamal Crawford on Saturday. They had to halt the game due to condensation on the court in the second quarter. But it was only in the first quarter that Chet Holmgren went up to contest the LeBron James layup. LeBron missed. And there was a putback. And then Chet Holmgren, he injured his foot. He stopped playing before anybody else. And now we found out that he potentially has ligament damage in that foot, and he's being evaluated to see what the deal is. And when you're 7'1", and it doesn't matter how much you weigh, he weighs nothing, 195 pounds for his height, man, foot injuries don't heal. They don't heal quickly. You got to be careful with them. They're susceptible of breaking again, or in the case of a ligament, not to say that you don't sprain it again. And so for a man who already came into the league drafted with durability issues and concerns due to his weight, he comes down with an injury that typically happens because of his size of his foot too. And so whatever the deal is, I hope we can see him this season. I hope he comes back healthy. And yeah, sure, it's a natural development for him to gain weight as he gets older and stronger and bigger. And we just have to see what will take place. 855-212-4CBS in a few minutes. Unfortunately, I need to update you on someone who plays another sport, been knocked out. We won't see him at all for about a year, if that. Manny is calling from Flushing. You're on CBS Sports Radio. What's up, Manny?
What's up, JR? How you doing?
I'm excellent. What's on your mind?
No, I'm good. Everything's good. But, man, damn, when you're about to check over, man. I'm hoping he does well. But to be honest with you, I can't say I'm surprised because we've seen, like, in many years when a big gets drafted that high, you know, your big concern is can he just try not to get hurt. Unfortunately, Jeff Kornbrand was, like, number 2 pick. It's like one of them. It's like deja vu. Like, for example, I hate to bring his name, but Greg Holden and then Sam Bowie. I just hope that he doesn't follow that route. I'm not saying they're busts, but I just hope that he'll have a healthy career.
Yeah, and I certainly hope he has a healthy career too. And thank you, Mandy, for calling from Flushing. It's tough for big guys. It really is. And at the speed of the game right now, when you have just taller guys and they're playing on the perimeter, it's one thing to take just more of a pounding underneath the basket. If I got to think about guys like a Patrick Ewing, man, he was big as hell. He was 7 feet, 7 feet one. He played underneath the basket, back to the basket. He would go out and pop for a jumper. But Patrick Ewing wasn't playing past the key extended. He wasn't moving past a baseline jump shot. He was not shooting threes. Alonzo Mourning, someone like Dikembe Mutombo, these guys, they play close to the basket. Whether or not you were an offensive player, or in the case of Dikembe, a defensive player, these guys now, they got to move around. And we're starting to see more and more just ridiculously tall wings playing ball. Let's look at Joel Embiid. He can play inside and outside. His injury history is just, it's noted. He started his career hurt. I mean, we look at someone like Jokic, MVP. Jokic doesn't look like he's a basketball player, not the most athletic, and it might be what leads to him being healthy. He's slow motion at all times. He's all skill. But when you're 7 foot one and you're a wing player and you're a supposed to be a defender at the rim, at the basket, man, good luck until you fill out. I hope he doesn't end up like Kristaps Porzingis. Kristaps Porzingis is just, he's all legs. There's no base. He's constantly hurt. And so Chet Holmgren is going to be, I don't want to call him a science project. I don't think the Oklahoma City Thunder would have selected him at number two if they didn't think he'd last. And he might go out there and play 70 games a year, 65 games a season. And as long as he's healthy in the playoffs, whenever this team can develop to get there, I think OKC would gladly take it. It's a hard knock life in the NBA right now, and Chet is already finding it out, and he has not even played a regular season game. So the JR Sport Brief Show on CBS Sports Radio. I want to ask Shep on the other side when we come back. I'm going to tell you about that Dodger who is done, not just for this year, but next year as well. I want to share with you things going on with Tiger Woods. We'll talk about Aaron Rodgers. We got a lot to do here on CBS Sports Radio.
You're listening to the JR Sport Brief on CBS Sports Radio. Listening to the JR Sport Brief on CBS Sports Radio.
JR, it's always a pleasure to hear you because you know your product. You really do a great job by not distorting what the callers are saying.
Call in now at 855-212-4CBS.
That's right, it is the JR Sport Brief Show on CBS Sports Radio. Speaking of distorting what anyone says, top of the hour, I want to share with you some words made or shared by Davante Adams on Aaron Rodgers, someone who opens up his mouth and is naturally distorting his own words. I'll share with you what Davante had to say about Aaron, and let's just say the name of Michael Jordan was invoked. And so we'll share that at the top of the hour. But as we continue on, we opened up the show talking about Chet Holmgren, him being hurt before he even plays one game in the NBA regular season. He had a nice showing at Summer League. Ligament damage is believed to be the case after he participated in a pro-am game up in Seattle this past Saturday. And so now we wait to see the severity of his injury, when he might return, etc. And who knows, maybe all things considered, he would need this time anyway to pack on some pounds. It's not like he's going to be running around getting cardio, so I don't know if that will slow down his development or maybe help it out. We'll see. Unfortunately, someone else going down to injury, and this is just a sport where if you throw a baseball, you're bound to get hurt. Like, you're not supposed to throw a baseball in the manner which pitchers do. And it's very rare that you find somebody like, I don't know, say Al Leiter, who has a rubber arm. And so Walker Buehler, who's been one of the best pitchers in the National League, been one of the best pitchers in the majors, just extremely reliable since he came up. This guy's having Tommy John surgery again. He's missed time this season, had to have a bone spur removed from his elbow. He's come back. He's stunk, only pitched in 12 games. And now, since being drafted in 2015, where he initially had Tommy John surgery, he needs it again. There was a hope and expectation that he'd be able to come back and help out the Los Angeles Dodgers in the stretch run. I mean, damn it, they just got Dustin May back. You never know what the case is with Clayton Kershaw, especially as he gets older. He started off the season hot. You would think he stepped into a time machine. Urias has held things down. Tony Gonsolin has been able to hold things down. And, I mean, that offense is just absolutely ridiculous. You know, you don't hear too much right now about, you know, Mr. Freeman, Freddie Freeman, formerly of here in Atlanta with me with the Braves. You don't hear too much about him anymore. Freddie Freeman, 16 home runs, 78 RBIs, a .324 average. Yeah, he's one of the best players still in the game. We know what Mookie Betts is, still one of the best players in the game. And the Dodgers right now still have a record, the best record in Major League Baseball. The only team with 80-plus wins, a record of 85-37. They lead the Padres by 19 games. And so I wouldn't be all that worried if you're a fan of the Dodgers. And they just got to continue to get into the postseason and go from there. Their president, Andrew Friedman, he talked about Walker Buehler and his surgery for Tommy John a second go-round. This is what he had to say.
We received the news that Walker Buehler underwent a successful Tommy John surgery, his second one. At what point did you guys realize that was going to be the surgery that was needed for him?
I mean, I think definitively today, we knew that there was a real chance of that. You know, it's a tough blow, but from all the sounds of it, it went as well as could possibly be expected. Talking to Dr. Eletrage earlier, he felt really confident about it. Felt like, you know, he went in and got it back in good order. And so, you know, now we just go through the progression part of it and, you know, hopefully get him back as soon as possible. And, you know, but there's no sugarcoating. It's a tough blow, but we'll get him back. And I know he's already itching.
Yeah, he's going to be gone all next season. Not probably, unless there's some type of miracle, the Dodgers will not see Walker Buehler again until 2024. It's realistic. It's how long it's going to take to kind of get things up and running again. And I don't know, maybe one day, we'll get back to a point where we see pitchers pitching. But there's so much money invested in them right now. They baby them. You don't see guys with rubber arms. Let's think about some of the best pitchers in baseball right now. Walker Buehler out here, second Tommy John surgery. Jacob DeGrom, since returning, I don't know, a couple of weeks ago, the Mets are already trying to push starts back to preserve his arm. Prior to returning a couple of weeks ago, he didn't pitch until June, July of last year. And he is the best pitcher in baseball. You have Justin Verlander, missed time and has come back, and he's just dealing like he's found the fountain of youth. Kershaw, he's been up and down over the past several years as he's gotten older. And so there's almost an expectation that if you're a pitcher in Major League Baseball, it's not a matter of if, but it's a matter of when you're going to be sat down, whether or not you're going to have to go underneath the knife. Even at the end of last season, Max Scherzer, who for himself didn't have the best of showings this week against the New York Yankees, Max Scherzer finished last season with a dead arm. He's 38 years old. He's also still one of the best pitchers in baseball, and he's making more money than anybody in the game right now, about $43 million per season for the next three. Oh, it's tough being a pitcher. I don't know if there's a more unforgiving just position in any sport, knowing that what you're doing is unnatural. You know, human beings, yeah, we can run, we can jump, we can move laterally from side to side. But the stress of throwing a baseball, I don't care if you're going 90 miles per hour, 180, you know, there's limitations to what we allow our young players to throw at in Little League so they don't damage their arm. There's a reason for that. It's not natural. And at the point of time that we're in right now, man, they baby these pitchers, and these guys, they still get hurt. Hey, Shep, I got two questions I want to ask you. First, when it comes down to pitching, would you agree that pitching just as a position is the most fragile of positions in sports?
You know, Jared, I've never really given it that much thought in terms of most fragile. When you do consider the fact that you now are one of five, and guys don't even go games 1, 4, and 7 anymore deep in the postseason, it does, JR, I don't know outside of Verlander if we're going to get another guy going 300 wins again in our lifetime. And I thought Kershaw was on pace. And so to answer your question, is it fragile? Hell yes, it is. You don't have guys pitching into their early 40s, mid-40s, the way we saw with Glavin and Randy Johnson, and Clemens had his ways and reasons of why he was able to do such. But the guys like Randy Johnson and Tom Glavin and individuals like that, and you just, you know, I remember the days of Jack Morris, you know, going 9 deep in a World Series game. You don't have that anymore. So, yeah, it's become very fragile because they look at these guys as incredible assets, and they can't, you know, spare more than 7 innings these days.
Yeah, but I think we know football. Full contact, everybody's going to get hurt.
Sure.
But I can't, if I think about, and even the catcher, I have no idea how these guys sit down back there and squat every damn day.
Well, they don't. They retire early now. I mean, wasn't
no,
like,
but,
like Buster Posey should still be playing. Joe Mauer should still be playing.
That's my point.
Right.
Like, you can't be a catcher. I have no idea. I'm just thinking in a general sense. Who the hell is squatting for, I don't know, 90-plus minutes, 4 nights, 5 nights out the week for 9 months? Who the hell is doing that?
Your boy Posada was doing that up until the age of 40, 2011. He was born in 71.
Yeah,
he was still catching at 40 years old.
I'm not talking about the age. I'm talking about the punishment that your body still takes as a catcher.
Right.
I'm thinking about physically demanding as sports. Just, I'm not specifically talking about baseball. If you're a tennis player, man, your shoulders are going to take a beating, right? Naturally. Arms and legs going back and forth, the lateral movement. If you're in the NFL, I can think about offensive linemen. I mean, these guys, you're getting bent backwards and forwards. You think about the NBA. We just talked about someone who's 7 feet tall. The stress of going up and down a court. You think about hockey. You know, what stress? Is it your ankles? Is it your legs? But when it comes down to the position of a pitcher, I would say out of every sport, pitchers are doing something that is more than unnatural. And you kind of know that, hey, I'm going to get hurt. And not in the way of I'm playing the NFL, someone will hit me. But you're just doing something your body wasn't built to do.
But JR, but why can, and I can't believe I glossed over and forgot Greg Maddux. You know, and I know he wasn't a power pitcher, but why is it that guys 15, 20 years ago were able to pitch well into their 40s? And yes, they got hurt, but they were still able to sustain careers for 15, 20 years of starting pitchers. Outside of Justin Verlander, you do not see that anymore.
Yeah, I don't have that answer. And I don't think Major League Baseball has that answer either, because they don't want to risk what they have to pay to guys. Is that a matter of, well, we're not stretching them out, we're not allowing them to pitch enough? Or there's no answer. These guys, this is what I do know is fact. They make so much money that they don't let them pitch. And maybe that's why they don't go deep. Everybody's not going to be Nolan Ryan pitching until they're almost, he's not 90 now, but you get my point,
right,
into his 40s. Not everybody will be Clemens into his 40s. And Randy Johnson, as you said. And they make so much money. Maybe that's one of the reasons.
I mean, JR, I mean, did Mo ever get hurt? I mean, did he ever have a real major injury even late in his career?
No, and unfortunately, the one that he had, he suffered in the outfield. He was
right.
Also a closer, and that I don't know if I'd equate that to being a starter. When you got to come out and pitch an inning, even though you're pitching the best inning that anyone has ever seen, the guys get babied. I wish there was an answer. I don't know if anyone has one. I don't know if any exists outside of they're babied. And that stinks. The game is just different altogether, all over. And unfortunately for Walker Buehler, he's not the first guy to have to go through two Tommy Johns. He's not the first guy to just get punched out of the game. He won't be the last either. It's like if you're a pitcher, you just know that you're going to go down eventually. It sucks. It's the JR Sport Brief Show here with you on CBS Sports Radio. When we come back, we're going to talk about a guy who throws a football. Aaron Rodgers, why is he being compared to Jordan? I'll tell you on the other side.